Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters that I get to be with two and three times a week, sometimes more. And Father, I just praise you for the work you're doing in us. Lord, I lift up everybody on this outreach, and I ask, Father, that you do a mighty work and get us all prepared, Lord, for the time that we've got ahead of us. We're going to need, Father, your help to keep our eyes completely on you and not on anything but you. And to ask every day, in Matthew 7:7, you tell us to ask, seek, and to knock, and all those answers will be given to us. And Father, I just ask you to place it in our hearts, those things that we need to know, to ask you, and to get those answers that we need. Because I know they're forthcoming. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight. Work in us, lead us, guide us. Show us what you want us to talk about tonight, Lord. I know there's some awesome things in your kingdom, Lord, that we can talk about. And I ask that you place it on someone's heart to bring it forth. Bless us tonight, Lord, with your anointing of your Holy Spirit and your leading of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Ooh, I do. I just got off the phone with Lenny. And they're going through an awesome trial, I should say, a terrible trial. I just like to pray for them and get y'all to agree with me. Father, I lift up Leonard and Yelena, and I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in them. You're humbling them. Father, I ask and I pray that you give them wisdom to deal with the things that come up with the children and the day-to-day things that come up, Lord. I know it's a hectic household, but I know that your Holy Spirit can quieten things down when they believe. I'm asking you, Father, to give them bold faith to believe that when they pray, that it's going to be answered and that the household will settle down. And Lord, I ask and I pray that this trial that you're going through is short-lived. And Father, I thank you for the great victory on the other side of it. In Jesus' name. Lord, give them endurance to go through this trial. I'm asking that in the name of Jesus. And that they will see fruit from it. Great fruit from it. Lord, thank you for helping them out. Both of them, Lord. Be with them. Hold their hands. Talk to them. Console them. And show them that there's light at the end of this dark tunnel that they're in. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I bind up all of those rebellious spirits in the children, and I cast you off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that they're going to settle down, all of them, and be the great children that you want of a Christian family, true Christian family. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
Yeah, it's me again.
Oh, that's okay.
I talked to my daughter Stacy from California this morning, and they have another issue that they're dealing with, and you know she's been at the end of her rope, she thought, and it seems like I don't know whether the rope's getting longer or shorter or which way it is, but she's getting to the end of it, I guess. This weekend, Maverick was bitten by a bat, and it appeared to be sick. You know, they didn't really realize that he had gotten bitten at first. And then when they did realize that he did, they could not find the bat. So he's undergoing treatment for rabies, doing the shots and stuff. And of course, she's kind of all undone about that. And then the contractors that were supposed to work at their house on Thursday and Friday came for 2 hours one day, and they left everything a mess and just strung everything all over and made a worse situation than it was before. And so they're kind of like living in one room and sleeping out on the deck, and it's just really getting to them. And Maverick's having a terrible time in school, and he's feeling like he's just really a failure. And, you know, she's trying to, you know, talk to the teacher and get things straightened out. And she said the teacher is acting like these fourth graders are college students. And so she's really struggling right now. And I was praying with her this morning, and I told her, you know, the Lord knows exactly what you're going through, and He is in everything, and He is there with you. And I'm not sure how she received that, because she was just really quiet. I know she feels like He's really abandoned her, and she just doesn't know what to do. I know as you were praying for the other family, I was just receiving a whole lot of that for Stacy and her family, because it's just at a time when they really are at the end of themselves. And I know that's where the Lord wants them to be, so that they'll realize that their ability cannot match up with God's ability. And so I just like agreement with prayer for them. And Greg is here, and he's going to pray for Stacy's family and for Maverick's, you know, that he won't have anything come of the bite that he had. So I'll give this to Greg right now.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Greg. How's it going, buddy?
Good. She's working me like a dog.
Well, praise God. Keep him busy, you know.
Praying for the sun to go down.
Oh, man. Early in the morning, late at night, huh?
We're going to have to get lights out tonight.
Well, we're getting down there on some things, so looks like we're going to have a late one tonight. But anyway, yeah, I'd like to pray for just for Stacy's family and their whole situation. Excuse me. Well, Father, I just we just come before you, and we lift Stacy and her family up to you. And just like Mom said, you know all the ins and outs of what they're going through, and most likely you've allowed it, brought it for their own good. But we're also going to take up our authority that you've given us and stand against those things coming against them, and believe in faith, Lord, that you're using it for your good purposes. We thank you for that. But we do just take authority over just spiritual attacks on their family, and we cast them down in Jesus' name. We just rebuke the devourer. We rebuke you, Satan. You cannot have them. we claim them for the kingdom. And specifically, speaking about Maverick, Lord, we just we lift him up first, and we just ask you, Lord, to give him peace. He's kind of going through some trials of his own with school and with the living situation being kind of shaken up at home right now, and then this bat bite and the shots and the treatments that he's going to be going through here. We just lift all that up to you, and we ask you to give him your perfect peace. And we just rebuke any toxins, any poison of any kind, anything that would come against his health and well-being. We just cast it down in the name of Jesus, because your word says that at the cross you took care of all of that. And so we stand on those promises and believe them and stand in faith on those things. And Father, we just we lift up his school situation, Lord, that you would help him to be able to absorb the information and take it in and do the problems and get through his classes, Lord. And we pray for mercy and compassion from the one teacher in particular who is really kind of hard on, it seems like, some of the students, and not that you want to give them an easy pass or anything, but that she would have compassion on him for his, where he's at and where he's struggling, that she'd be able to help him out with that, or at the very least that someone would be able to help him and that he would be able to get it. We thank you for that, Lord. We just want to lift up Stacy's family and their house situation, that you would bring a quick end to this just chaos that's kind of taken over there. They don't have a place to really sit down or do anything. It's all just dusty and just a mess, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to bring that to an end, Lord. But in the meantime, that you would bring them through this trial, Lord, that you would give them your peace. I pray that you would just use this to draw both Stacy and Dennis to you and draw them close to you, Lord. And we're believing for salvations all the way around for their family. We just claim it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask you to grant them the ability to just go after truth, to love truth, and that you would pursue them, Lord, and just overtake them and reveal who you are to them and what you've done and who they are in you. We pray that you would place around them God-fearing men and women that would be able to assist them and to bless them in all kinds of ways and encourage them and speak the truth to them and pray with them and just really help them grow, Lord. And we thank you for that. We ask you to place your angels round about them and their household and the house and just guard and protect them, Lord, and keep them safe. What am I forgetting? And Lord, we thank you for all this, and we just wait in expectation for what you're going to do. And we just praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We put our faith together with Gaynold and Greg in this situation with their family. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to fulfill the prayers that we've prayed, they've prayed, and all of us have prayed for Stacy and Dennis and Maverick and their family, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're going to draw them in a mighty way. And I thank you, Lord, that it is already done by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just praise you, Father, for what you're doing in Stacy's life and the family's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody believe that? I do.
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. That is done.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Are you even off the first page, Greg, as far as your list?
Well, we kind of keep adding to it.
Oh,
we find something new.
All right. So, all right.
But it's going good. We've gotten a lot done here, so it's been a good push.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we missed y'all. We're looking forward to seeing both of you back. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, can I pray for you too?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Gaynold to you, Lord, that she would, she gets everything done like she wants done, all, whatever, all paperwork, all physical things, and everything that has to be done in a timely fashion, Father. And I thank you for that. Give her wisdom to do everything that has to be done. And Lord, I thank you for giving Greg the energy and supernatural ability to take care of everything that he needs to take care of while he's there, that it would be a finished product whenever he gets through sometime next year. I don't know whenever it's going to be. But Lord, we just thank you for the work you're doing in both of them. And Lord, we ask and we pray that your angels be around about them and protect them and keep ministering to them. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know both of y'all are going to be down here for the wedding, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to be there.
I would like to be, but I won't be able to be.
Okay. All right.
I will be there in spirit.
Well, that's good enough.
Well, good.
Okay. Well, all right. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Yeah, go ahead, Joe. I'll get you, Missy.
During what we're talking about on Saturday for you and for me Sunday. What we did talk about Sunday morning for me now, the Lord gave me rest of my situation. I do understand it quite easily, but it's the first time my Lord gave me rest on the things that to understand and give it to him. I'm not sure how to explain it. It just feel comfortable now. It's after everybody's input and talk about it. So, thanks, all. Thanks for the Lord and thanks for you praying for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think it's Tracy. Is that Tracy Denny? Okay, anybody else? I'll go ahead, Missy.
I have a prayer request. This job, this part-time job that Merle has, when he got hired, you know, he told them, you know, that he wanted to work 15 to 20 hours a week. Well, I'd say for the past 4 months, easy. They've been lots of times giving him like, except for like maybe 2 weeks, he's been getting about 30 hours a week. And this week, there's one of the managers, she's new and she's scheduling 35 hours. And he doesn't, he doesn't have the courage to speak up and say anything, you know? And they're short on hand. They need to hire all around, according to Merle. So I want to pray about that.
Okay.
And he says he wants to quit soon too, but he's not going to quit quite yet. But anyway, so Father, I just ask you, Lord, to give Merle the boldness to speak up and let him know that they're working him a lot more hours than what he wants, and so that they need to hire someone. And Lord, part of the reason is that he's a hard worker. He's a good worker, Lord. So this new manager is giving more hours to the ones that are good workers, which if they want the hours, that's the way it should be. But maybe others will pick up their slack. But anyway, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to put in Merle the courage to speak up and say something, Lord, and that he quit this job when you wanting to, Lord. And I just thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give him the wherewithal. Just tell him, hey, look, we agreed not to work me over this many hours. Now you've stuck all this on us, and let's do a little change here. And Lord, I thank you that they'll do it for me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's the thing about being a good worker. You can just about dictate what you want, you know, generally speaking. That's why I never liked unions. I always like to talk for myself. I don't need somebody else to do it for me. Anyway, praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Hey, who is the 903-619-1804? Who is that number?
Oh, this is Megan.
Oh, okay, Megan. I don't know why I didn't recognize your number, but I did. I don't guess I got that one. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I almost forgot. My sister sent me an email earlier today. Actually, all of us in the family, my niece Haley has mono, and she asked for everyone to pray for her. And so, Father, in the natural, Lord, this kind of thing can be a long, drawn-out thing, and Lord, we're just asking you for your mercy and grace, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to use this to draw Haley and Cindy and Frank, all of them, Lord, to you to seek you. They're reaching out and asking for prayer for Haley, and so which is a good thing, Lord. And I just sense that you've been drawing my sister, Lord, and I just ask you to continue to do that. And even Haley, Lord, she's had some bad experiences and people pushing her to accept the Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to show her that not all of Christianity is like that, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing her into the kingdom, Lord, in your timing, and granting her repentance and bringing her into the kingdom in your timing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for using this to bring them all closer to you. Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's a bad deal. Yeah, Will, go ahead, brother.
Evening. How are you? How's everyone? And how are you, Michael?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
And then I'm glad. Yeah, we've got I don't know, on the internet they call it a down cow. it's a cow that's down. This one fell into I think a stream. And she was there for quite some time. And then there's, I think, injury. And then there's a struggle. And also dehydration. And then it's a struggle getting the cow up again. That was, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I think it was going on 3 weeks. The thing is, you have to get the cow up as soon as possible to avoid bed sores. So she, yeah, actually the first 2 weeks, she was up and she was standing and everyone was celebrating. And then my mom and I, we sort of went on holiday and left my dad with the cow thinking that everything was sorted. And since we left, it's just deteriorated. And my dad is giving her her last 3 days before he's considering putting it down now. So yeah, it's a bit of a bad thing. But I've been through similar situations with the animals on the farm before, and standing in faith and had some flops. And then I'm still sort of trying to figure out. I remember listening to a teacher, just going back to the Lord and asking, why was there so many flops? And why didn't the healings manifest like the word promises? And then there was, I heard a whisper like on one of David's teachings, and it was possibly unforgiveness. So I'm sort of looking into that. So I don't really have the 100% faith that this one's going to pull through. I'm sort of still worried about what might be blocking this miracle from manifesting. And maybe there's something that is, so maybe some confession from my part or some sin that needs to come to the forefront before I'd actually see that types of miracles, you know. I don't know. So I'm sort of praying to the Lord right now to say, is there anything that's blocking this? And if not, then I can really put 100% of faith into receiving this and seeing this thing through. So I'm not really even at the point where I really want to say that all is well, unless I really know for sure that unforgiveness is dealt with.
Okay, we're justified by faith, aren't we, Will? We're all justified by faith. All you have to do is say, Lord, I don't want any unforgiveness in my heart. I give it to you. Now I am cleansed of all unrighteousness, and I'm back on the road. And now that's when you can have the faith to do it. If you've already confessed your sins, if there was any in there, you're justified by faith now. Will, now anything else that comes up in there is doubt and unbelief. And so we just discard that, because he tells us to endure in our faith to the end. What's the end? That's when you see that cow jump up and get back out there with the rest of it.
The previous time I held on to the a word, God will work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So throughout this miracle, he will manifest whatever needs to be manifested within and without you to have it come to pass. And yeah, that's a long story. The flops, you know, and it just flopped so badly. And I don't know. I'm a bit skeptical now since the flops. I haven't really had clarity as to why I've had such big flops in the past. And then I just know, David, like there was a teaching where David said, if you have unforgiveness, you can put as much faith into these things as you want. It's bound not to happen because there's no grace for you. And I really don't have any conscious, although I've confessed all my unforgivenesses and my angers, and I don't really have anything that I feel like it's unconfessed, like you're saying. But I still don't have any closure onto the previous flops that I had, which was quite bad. I'll explain them at a different time. It's a long story.
All right. Well, we're justified by faith. I have to go back to that. We talked with a person here the other day, and they couldn't figure out why this happened or why that happened. And this, you know, and why they're still under condemnation and da 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 da. Well, we're justified by faith. You don't have to worry about it. And if we're justified by faith, that is believing that it's all taken care of. God took care of it back on the cross 2,000 years ago. All we have to do is keep our eyes on Jesus, and everything else will fall into place. And if we're doing that, you are just as righteous as the most holy man on earth. And you don't have to worry about what if this, what if that. Well, what if God fell off a throne? Because he said you're already justified by faith. So we just hang in there, We speak it, call us those things that are not as though they were, and go for it and believe it. Hmm. Now, we're going to do that. What is this, a milk cow?
No, no. Luckily, we don't do dairy. It's meat. So, you know, dairy is early up. Yeah, thank goodness. Praise the Lord for that. No, thank goodness. No dairy.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But anyway, Lord, we just come against this blockage that Will has, and we command it to come off of him. Any condemnation, any kind of doubt and unbelief, we command that to go from him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to stand him in faith to believe that when he prays, that it's going to happen, because he is as righteous as anybody else. And Father, we thank you for that. He's on the high road, he ain't on the low road. He's the head and he ain't the tail. And Father, we thank you that when he prays, that the spiritual realm listens. Now we command that cow to get up off its, get up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Do you have any idea what the problem is with the cow, Will?
You know, it's the first time we've had actually a cow that's been walking. She was walking for a day, or she was up for a day and a half. And then, yeah, from that point, it's normally finished, you know, and then now she's down again. I don't know. It's just like she doesn't have that strong will to live. I picked that up from her. Her mom also had the same fate. She also died from a fall and just didn't have the... It's like some of them are stronger than others. She just doesn't seem like she wants to go on. I don't know why.
An older cow?
No, she's quite young. Hey, I'd say she's still considered a heifer. She still has to cough this year.
Okay. Well, let's pray that out of it in the name of Jesus. Now we're gonna pray. Now you have to receive it and believe it, and we're gonna stand in the name of Jesus right now. We command the will to live in this heifer in Jesus' name, because she's got a long life ahead of her. She's going to be a very productive cow. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to be fertile. She's going to be giving out great calves from this point on. In the name of Jesus, cow, I'm telling you to get up off of that and start doing your job in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that this cow, this heifer, it's going to produce like no other cow they've ever had from this point on, in Jesus' name. Now, I believe it. Does everybody else believe that? I believe it. How about you, Will?
I believe it. I must believe it. There's no other escape, is there?
Let this be a testimony to God's grace and mercy on you.
I know, thank you. Yeah.
Let that be a testimony to your father, too.
Yeah, it's been putting a lot of strain on him, because I'm sort of on holiday in the winter months, and now this thing, and it's my cow, strangely enough, and now she doesn't want to get up, and he's the one that has to get workers with our workers, and then lift her up every morning and let her go down in the evenings. You know, so it's quite putting stress on him. So, and that's sort of putting guilt on me for not being there, but I also need to rest. I cannot, my physically, I couldn't take the workload anymore. I needed to just get away and get in the Word. So it's really a very bad attack for me. So I can't really concentrate on the Word like I want to, you know, during this time of my holiday, you know, so it's a bit of an irritation.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just left that will to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in here to get in the Word and get in the rest. The rest is where you believe everything that you've prayed is happening. And that will, we don't have to worry about it. We put it aside because you prayed the prayer of faith for that cow. And that cow is going to live. It's going to be a major producer for you. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we ask and we pray that when he does get in the Word, that the revelations will come forth, that all the great revelations that you want Will to see, Lord, are going to come forth, and he's going to get in the Word and get deep in the Word and peel layer after layer after layer off of those, the Word of God, Lord, showing the great mysteries of the Word of God, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for putting Will in the rest to know. And when his dad calls, the next time he calls and he said, "Oh, Will, I don't know, we need to put," just say, "Dad, just wait one more day, because that cow's coming up in the name of Jesus." And when you do that, Will, watch what happens. That cow's going to jump up. She's going to be ready to go in Jesus' name. I believe it, brother.
I must believe it, so I believe it. I've seen her up. You know, the bad thing is we fasted, not necessarily for the cow, and I don't want to really tell everyone that I fasted, but we fasted, and during that time that she was down, and at the last day of the fast, she was walking up and down. I remember just not really focusing on the cow, more than just praising the Lord and making sure that I'm forgiveness free. Not forgiveness free, unforgiveness free. Focusing on those type of things, really, like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And this next week I've been busy. My sister had a baby, a son. His name is Hugo. And we came down actually to see the baby, and for the last week he's now been on planet Earth for a week, and since this last week has been, the cow's deteriorated in the last week since we've been gone. But I don't know if I focused on the right things, like seeking his kingdom and his righteousness enough. Maybe it's a sort of a penalty. I'm not, but like you say, it's faith. I've just got to believe in faith, the righteous son of my faith. So thank you. Thank you.
The cow's healed.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. We'll keep on praying. Who is it, Malcolm? I'm telling you the truth. Man, you just find you anywhere, won't you? I tell you what, brother. How you doing? All right. Let me get you on full so everybody can see.
Hi, everybody.
Y'all see what Malcolm looks like now, don't you?
Oh, dear.
There he is. In all his radiant glory. How you doing, buddy? I heard you was over there. Did you get to see Chad and Charity?
No, I didn't. I just talked to Chad a minute ago.
Did you?
Half 45 minutes ago. Yeah.
Is he doing okay?
Sound like it. They had a nice time on the coast, it sounds like, and so. It's really hard to understand because I was in this parachute of a car, and it's very noisy in there. So
okay, all right, Barry, I need to talk to you after this thing is over. Okay.
Little deliverance to postmortem. Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you, Malcolm. Good to see you, buddy.
You too.
All right.
Hi, Missy.
All right, let's see if I can get this back down. There we go. All right. Do we need to pray about anything, Barry? Pray protection over here in Maryland.
We're still full screened over here.
If you don't mind, I'd like to pray about something.
Yes, sir.
The reason I went to Portland was a friend of mine passed away a couple years. Well, we all prayed for Paul a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. He died that next morning at about 2:00, during the night anyway. So I came through down to Portland for the memorial. So it was nice to see everybody. I haven't seen a lot of these folks for a couple of decades. So it was hard to recognize people. But anyway, the widow, my friend's widow, she's having a real hard time because her father now is in really bad shape. He's in ICU right now, but he's doing a little bit better. but it looks like he doesn't have much time left either. So my friend's widow, Sharon, is having a very hard time trying to cope with all this. So I just wondered if we could pray for her. You're muted, Michael. You're talking, though, and you're smiling.
I do that occasionally, not very often, about every time I get on it. Okay. No, I said, yeah, you go ahead and pray. We'll believe with you.
Okay. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for my friendship with Paul and his wife, Sharon. I just pray, Lord, that you said that you would not bring anything over, you'd not give any trial harder than we can bear. I just pray that you will enable her to deal with the situation, prolong her father's life, or whichever way you choose to do that. But Lord, I just pray that you will put faith in her and hope, and that you will help her to hold on to you and learn to hold on to you even more. And I pray also for her children, that you'll help them through all of this. And Lord, I pray you just bring them into your kingdom big time, so that they're fully operational in your kingdom and wrecking havoc for you. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, let this be a place where you would bring them all in Jesus' name, all that family in, Lord. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. What else? Did you bring your piano?
No, I just played on the, it used to be the Oregon Symphony Grand Piano. It's the most awesome piano, and I played it with this trumpet player who I used to play with years ago. I guess about almost 25, 27 years ago, we did a lot of playing together. So it was just wonderful to hear him. He's very good. He's really improved, I think. So we really had a nice, about 10 minutes of time there. And so anyway, hopefully we can do an album here. That's what I told him. We got to do an album, buddy. You can't
keep Amen. Go for it. That'd be awesome. Okay. Good to see you, Malcolm. Gosh,
good to see you all.
Seeing you. Last time, man, gosh, that's had to been 6-7 years ago I saw you. No, it had to been a little sooner than that.
You probably saw me on Chad's phone.
Yeah, well, that might have been where it was.
Yeah, probably, because I don't think I've ever been on video before here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
God bless you all.
Yeah, you too. How long are you going to be staying with Barry in Maryland?
Probably just a few minutes. I still have another, I think about 6 hours to drive, and it's already after 5, so.
Okay.
He's enjoying all of us, he could stand.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for having Malcolm stop by Barry in Maryland, and Lord, we ask that you be with him as he goes home and protect him and Amen. keep him safe, Lord, all the way home in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
No deer, no animals.
No varmints, none of that. No turkeys, no buzzards, no nothing like that.
Turkey buzzards.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You're safe, buddy.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else need prayer? Or testimony? Got a testimony? Hi, Tim.
Got a prayer request.
Okay.
I need everybody to join with me and put our faith together for my phone. It quit sending phone calls today, and that's pretty much all I use it for, and text. So I'm believing that it's going to be healed, and I don't have to monkey with getting a different one or changing all that contact information. I got saved onto a different phone or rebooting an old phone, and this one's going to be healed, and thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, we just believe with Tim that that's done. I tell you, he don't have to buy him a new phone because that phone is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for getting everything back on it. like it's supposed to, and it's going to come on and off when it's supposed to. And Lord, it's going to be better than it was before, because you got your angel, your tech angels on it, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a done deal. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Tasha. Amen. Okay, let's see if I can do that. Let's see here. I got it. Okay, good deal. All right, anybody else?
Now, you're big on the screen.
I am?
Yeah.
No, I'm not big. You've hit the speaker view. Hit that up there and it'll take it back down.
What?
You know not what I speak.
In the right hand corner up top there, Leon. It's that speaker view?
It says gallery view or speaker view. If you'll hit that button. Yeah. Okay. Good deal. All right, anybody else? Got something they'd like to comment on? Yeah, Joe. Leon, can I mute you?
I was going to tell Will there, as you were speaking, Michael, to Will, if you're still listening there, Will, through that time, just say, you know, something else that kind of, I'm not sure if you knew about it, but it kind of came to mind, and I've struggled with it before when it comes to, like, seeing things manifest. But just remember, you know, you believe it. As Michael said, you're justified by faith. You believe it. But remember also to, you know, the idea, and Michael's actually spoken on this. I don't know if you remember him speaking, policing your thoughts. You know, basically the concept of understand. I mean, you know, basically every thought you have from here till when what we prayed for manifests, you know, police every thought. If it's against what we said, you know, what we're believing in, reject it. You know, cast down those thoughts. Be careful what you speak, especially. You know, that's the big thing. You know, it's easier to kind of have these thoughts racing through your head and then you want to speak something contrary to what you believe in. But yeah, just be careful. Police your words, you know, to put it simply. Think about them. You know, I mean, be careful what you say, but also what your thoughts. You know, if you can stop your thoughts from becoming emotions and anything more than that, then, you know, you'll be good. But just that's a key thing right there. It's easy to let your thoughts get out of whack and just start racing. And, you know, you begin to entertain them and then, you know, you can get into condemnation, doubt and unbelief and all that stuff. So it's better once you have those thoughts come in that says, well, maybe what about this or what about that? Or, well, she doesn't look, you know, healed or whatever, you know. I mean, I'm sure you get the idea. Just cut them off at that and say, no, that's not true. We believed. It's already been done. And, you know, that settles it. So, yeah. That is something, you know, a couple pointers. Just remember. And, yeah, endure in your faith. Endure the trials. It'll come. And then you will see it. So, amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? What y'all want to talk about? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. But before we get on to, you know, whatever we're going to talk about, is it okay, Father? Sunday morning gave me more interpretation of Joe Britt's dream. Would it be okay for me to share that?
He says yes. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. It was during my prayer time, Joe, the Lord showed me this. You know, there were two things there in your dream, the dung beetle and the little black piglet that you kicked. And the dung beetle is, you know, it's it makes this round thing of dung that it eats on, and it can even have its babies in there. and that is the things that the waste that you have gotten rid of. And what that is that's a spirit of condemnation. These are things that you have repented of, and yet the enemy is trying to, through condemnation, put that back on you. And the fact that those dung beetles can even have their babies, that can even be a nest, that's also symbolic of condemnation, because once he's got you, he can get you, if he can get you into doubt, fear, unbelief, discouragement, you know, all of those are like his children and he likes to bring in there with him. And so that was, you know, really, really good that you kicked these things. And the thing about the little black pig, that's really good because, you know, we've heard the analogy of you are what you eat. And if you got two dogs, the white dog and the black dog, whichever one you feed is going to be the one that gets big and healthy. And we want to feed the spirit man, the white dog. And that little black pig, I believe, is the same as like the black dog. It's your carnal man. And that is really good because it was small. And you kicked it out of the way too. So I believe the Lord just wants you to be encouraged.
Praise God.
That, you know, you have authority over these things. And, yeah, the enemy's going to try to come against you, but you just keep kicking them and casting them down because they have to go in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Dave. All right. Thank you, Marilyn. All right, what y'all want to talk about? Now, this ain't going to work like this. Oh, man, that's a good thing. Where's that book? There it is. What you got, Tim, do you want to talk about?
Well, my morning verse this morning was in Psalms 119, and I thought it was pretty important. It touched me, and I think it's something that there's some room for discussion on. In the chapter called Zayin, I guess it is, verses 49 through 56. And I can read it, I guess, real quick. But to paraphrase it is that, you know, when the world around us isn't playing by God's rules, that we still have to listen to the Word and use it as our anchor and our rock to guide us, even though that the people that we're dealing with are, you know, they're not going to play by God's rules. But it exhorts us to stay in the Word and to stay principled. So let me read it real quick, and then if you want to discuss, I guess we can. If you want to move on, we can do that too. So this is Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant. That's like, remind us, Lord, because thou hast made me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not swerved from thy law. I have remembered thine ordinances of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Hot indignation hath taken hold upon me, because the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. And have observed thy law. This I have had, because I have kept thy precepts. And when I was reading that this morning, it really reminded me, you know, of the things I was just talking about, how important it is that we have, you know, we were playing by a different set of rules. And we've got to, it doesn't matter what's going on around us, we really have to adhere to the word of the Lord and to follow it as much, you know, perfectly if we can, or do our best and do better with it. And one thing I thought was kind of interesting as I was researching that this morning, I remembered hot indignation had taken hold of me, and I looked up the references to that, and the word, you know, where is hot indignation, especially in the Old Testament? And the first one it said was in, I think, Exodus, when Moses came down off the mountain with the tablets, and he saw everybody in Israel partying and raising heck, and he got so mad he dropped the tablets and broke them. And it's, and that was where it led me on that, was the hot indignation. I thought that was kind of interesting. Anyhow, that's if you guys want to talk about that, that's what was on my mind.
I'm going to get unmuted here. Has anybody got any comments on this particular song? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
The first couple verses, he said, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So God gives a word, and then that causes us to hope. And then the second verse, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. So that's what it, when we're in that, we're hoping, but yet there is that affliction. There is an affliction, and our comfort is in that God has given us the word, and we can hope in it. So, hallelujah.
Amen. The promise is in 2 Peter 1:3 is what came to my mind. What's that? Okay. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You get more of him, you got more knowledge. You got more power. Amen. All right, anybody else on this particular song? This is a good song. It tells us to rest in the Lord, doesn't it? Just rest in the Lord. He's going to take care of everything. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our eyes on the promises. And understand that all we have to do is just believe. And walk in it. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just thinking, the Lord's reminding us of these things too, and he's bringing us out in the front because he's talking about this. He's having indignation because the wicked forsake his laws. Well, you're going to see, we're seeing a lot of that. It's coming out, you know, the wickedness we're seeing that's in this country coming out, being spelled out, and all over in Europe, and you're seeing it going on in Africa. It's just people are becoming more and more demon crazed, and that wickedness is just making us just like go on a gas sometimes, like, wow, how much, you know, what's coming up next the road? Can't wait to see, you know, what it's going to, what are these people going to say next? What's going to come out of their mouths? And the Lord's just telling us, you know, we have to, with this, is we just got to keep on focusing on his word and on his promises and on him and his righteousness and seeing him in the mirror daily. I mean, because this is the only thing that's going to get us through, is our looking upon him and not upon the world, because the world's just going to be free for all now. It's just getting, it seems like it's going down that slope, and it's going to get even crazier. And if we get our eyes on that and get caught up in that and not keep our eyes on the Lord, you know, that's going to really be a distraction for us. And I think that's what he's telling us, is keep our eyes on the word, because that way we're not going to be taken out with all these crazy things that are going on.
Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
There we go. And, you know, one thing I kind of overlooked earlier, even though I said it this morning too, is in verse 52, where I have remembered thine ordinances and have comforted myself. And that's, you know, that's the psalmist has put the Lord's word in his heart and in his mind so he can bring it to remembrance. That's real important for us too. You know, the more familiar we are with the word, and the more easy it is to retrieve, you know, the promises and the blessings that are spoken here. So that's another important part of this.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Malcolm, go ahead.
You know, it's interesting how about the Psalms 119 text. This weekend I was at I heard a sermon. It was a packed church, and the guy that was speaking was actually a classmate of mine years ago in college. But he said his wife, he says he vacillates between the joy of the Lord and anger. And his wife says, "How come you're so angry all the time?" Well, what he explained was that here we are, and the church we were at, and this is in kind of a downtown Portland area, not downtown, but near Malt 205. He said, just walk 10 minutes from here, you're going to see people that are going through the most terrible trauma. And here we are in our, he said, here we are, we're in our G-rated world, but you've got people just 10 minutes walking distance away who are in an X-rated world, and they have to, they're just trying to get from hour to hour just to survive. And here we are in our comfortable churches, you know, we have our safe environments, and you know, and they have a weekly cycle. They come, you know, and they get together. But it was, he said, but what are we doing for these folks? He said, it's this goes on year after year, and I think it is. On one hand, you don't want to be angry at your fellow believers because they're not coming up to par, but yet Jesus did have a holy anger at times. So I think there's a balance there, but I think it is, there's a place to be frustrated. But so I guess that's it.
Well, you know, Malcolm, the only time that Jesus talks about in the Bible that he got angry was when the church was coming against God's people. The leaders in the church were coming against God's people by allowing money changers and all that garbage inside the holy place, you know, inside the church. And that was the only time. I mean, as far as getting angry against the world, he never got angry against the world. He never got angry against anybody but the leaders of the church that were prostituting God's people.
He wasn't really angry at the leaders of the church. He was more frustrated with the church in general, that they just weren't doing anything for the people out there. So, but anyway, he's a work in progress, and I talked to him just briefly. But
yeah,
really nice guy. I just pray for him, you know.
Yeah, amen. The Lord let him get off of that. Business, let him start praying for his brothers and sisters in the church. Brings them, but they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you. What's his name? What's his first name? I don't need to know his whole name.
Huh.
Good friend, huh?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I know. I've done the same thing.
It was from Montana. It's one of those kids from Montana. There's a whole bunch of pretty neat kids that I would.
Well, that's okay.
Anyway, just pray in the spirit and you'll get it right.
Yeah, there you go. Amen. Lord, fix him. Put him at rest to believe that you're doing
it. I do think he's on the right track. Because he's very unusual. He's putting a tremendous effort into getting out in the streets and dealing with folks out there. He's frustrated that people are just sitting in their comfortable air-conditioned environments and aren't going out actually interfacing with anybody other than themselves. So,
yeah. Well, he's got to bear in mind there are people that are actually affecting more people's lives on the internet than they do on the streets. You're doing it one-on-one out there, which I'm not against. I'm all for it. I used to do it myself. But there are also people out there that are doing it on the internet that are affecting millions. And that's a good thing. I enjoyed my time on the streets. I don't know about y'all, but I did. I had a blast out there. God was with us too. You ever do any street ministry, Malcolm?
Especially in Singapore,
which is
we go door to door in what they call flats. They still call them flats, but they're high-rise buildings and you can go. You can get without much exercise. You can go from, you know, apartment to apartment and just go through thousands of people.
And, really?
But most people would say, "Hey, I'm a free thinker," and my response was, "Hey, if you're a free thinker, you'd be happy to talk to me, wouldn't you?"
So, amen. That's good. Boy, there's a lot going on in Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm thinking
Are you thinking of Hong Kong?
Well, maybe so.
Yeah, what's interesting about Hong Kong and Singapore is those flats in Singapore are fairly reasonably priced, but Hong Kong, they're so many times higher, and apparently that's really causing a lot of the impetus to these protests. So you just have to pray for these folks. But these are wicked places. I mean, they've got judgment coming. So yeah. I've been through at least one riot in Hong Kong. But Hong Kong is, you know, riots is kind of a tradition in Hong Kong. So anyway.
What's the difference in Hong Kong and Singapore other than the name?
Singapore is right next to the equator.
That's where I want to go.
They're quite regulated. If you spit, bubble gum's illegal, and if you spit gum onto the sidewalk, you can get a fine.
Really?
So people have T-shirts, and the front says Singapore, and on the back it says it's a fine place, and then it lists all the fines. You know, bubble gum, chewing gum, and all these things.
Cigarettes.
Yeah. Okay.
They have plainclothes police. I was over there in the mid 70s.
Oh, you were.
And
oh,
we were there. And they, just doing my work stuff over there. It was a work assignment, and I was smoking at the time. And I got through with a cigarette. I dropped it on the sidewalk. Ooh. And smushed it with my foot. This guy comes up and he says, "Pick that up." I said, "Huh? Pick that up." I was like looking at him. He looked at me like, gave me that look. It's like, this guy means business. So I picked it up and put it in the trash. Says, "We don't do that kind of thing here." And that was it. You know, I didn't get a fine.
Well, praise the Lord.
You know, they're serious over there. You don't you don't mess around in Singapore.
You know.
They have caning laws over there, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember a guy years ago when I was a kid. It made the local news here in Ohio. He visited Singapore and he vandalized. I forget what he vandalized, and yeah, they caned him pretty good for it.
Yeah.
That was a public thing. Yeah.
What kind of religion they got over there?
There are at least five religions. There's Hinduism, and they're all, you know, they're almost equal. There's Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity, and I think there are others, but those are the main, because there's Chinese, Malaysian, and Australian, a lot of folks from Australia, New Zealand, and British. Of course, the British used to, you know, was one of their colonies at one time, or at least they had a presence there. It's called Singapore because Singa is lion and Pura is city. So, of course, but it's a port island. It's a very wicked place. So,
okay. Okay. Anybody else on Psalm 119, 49 through 56? Anybody else got something they want to talk about?
I got Exodus 23 today, and actually it was 23:31, but I'll start at 23:20 and go through 23:33. It says, conquest Canaan promise. He says, the Lord says, behold, I will send an angel before you to keep you by the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. Take heed before him and hearken unto his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you shall indeed hearken unto his voice and do all that I speak, I will put I'll be an enemy unto your enemies, an adversary unto your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you unto the Amorite, unto the Hittite, unto the Perizzite, unto the Canaanite, the Hevite, and the Jebusite, and I'll cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but shall utterly overthrow them and break them into pieces, break their pillars, break in pieces their pillars. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and not your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. There shall none cast her young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. I will send terror before you and will discomfort the people to whom you shall come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs unto you. I will send the hornet before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against you. But little by little I will drive them out from before you, until you be increased and inherit the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land under your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell on your land, lest they make you sin against me. And for if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. I like that because the Lord's promising in the Spirit for us also that he's going to drive out our enemies, not physical and spiritual, but mostly the spiritual. He's going to drive them out little by little. He's not going to do it all at once. And this is what David said. This is how he works. But we are supposed to stay and keep his covenant, not get involved with any of the worlds and the worldly ways and the gods and cast them out from us. And he's going to bring these enemies up before us so that we can defeat them. And he's the one that's going to be doing that. But he said, he says, I will drive them up before you until you be increased and inherit the land. So he's going to, that's how we increase, is when he drives them out, and it's little by little, it's not at once. So we're having this promise that he's going to let us increase, and we're going to see this hand on us and his spirit of comfort, and he's going to be with us with his angel. But we're not supposed to at the same time deviate from this, because this angel around us doesn't have a mind for rebellion. Even though God's very, very gracious, the angels around us are, you know, I think they're very gracious too, but they're there to make sure we also stay on track. And that's what he was doing here. This angel was not going to pardon them for their transgression. I don't know if somebody else has another idea how that works. I've heard it both ways, where they're kind of, they pray for us when we fall, and they don't, you know, they're not condemning. But at the same time, I think when it's time to do business and get the enemies out of the land, I don't know if these angels are going to be so quick to pardon either. So anybody else have any ideas on that?
I would think that what I thought of when they were going to take these enemies out little by little, I thought of the title of the book there, Salvation, Instantaneous and Progressive. And, you know, when you read verse 23 there was five different people, five different senses a person has. And, you know, sometimes your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There's a savor to the Lord, and you have to be that savor too. And these senses, you know, he's taking care of them. He's taking care of these high senses in your land, so that you can defeat them today. You know, these are the enemies. And I like also what it says in 33 about the land. You know, I immediately thought of the parable of the sower for that one. There's three lands you don't want to go in, and you don't want to be with them. You know, basically it says to keep your way holy, you know, the way, the truth, and the life. That's just a few things.
Amen. You know, I'm just looking at some spiritual things here, if I can. Actually, in verse 23, there's six of those: Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Canaanite, Bahavite, and the Jebusite. Well, what's the number six? That's man, that's flesh. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get rid of that flesh. He wants to kill it, man. He wants us to completely murder it, get it out of us. And that's what I saw there. He said, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor be after their works. We're not supposed to do that after the flesh. We don't go after the flesh. We go through all the spiritual stuff. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Amen. I saw that in those three little verses right there. That's just me.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah.
I was trying to, if you notice, I was trying to convert the ASV to regular language, so I might have stumbled a little bit.
Oh, no, that's okay. I noticed what you do. I did too. And in verse 28, I like verse 28 because we've done that ourselves. We've done that. We've prayed that the Lord would send the hornets before they should drive them out, whatever it is. You know, God's done it. Confuse them. Send them scattered to scatter the enemy. And Dave, you're right. David talks about not driving all of them out at the same time. He said if we did that, we'd get a little bit self-righteous, maybe a little prideful. God just does a little bit at a time.
I think he also said that if he drives them all at once, it doesn't allow us to grow.
That could be.
Yep. I think we need to have that push on us, otherwise we become slack. It's like becoming wealthy all of a sudden, and there you go. You kick back, relax, you enjoy the time you're here. You're no longer in the battle. You're just kind of kicking back. Whereas, you know, if you know you still have to struggle and push and push and push, well, you don't get taken out of you're kind of constantly in the battle that way, and you're kind of keeping your skills up, and you're not allowing yourself to be taken out by the enemy that by not paying attention. I mean, we all have the Lord gives us a little a rest here and there once in a while, and we don't have a issue. But I notice, and just about then, I'll start to relax and enjoy things, and then all of a sudden I got some issues, or I got some problems, or I got some push, or I got something that's all of a sudden I'm having to confront something and deal with something there. It's like, the Lord allows you a little bit of rest, but then he gets you back into it. You know, he doesn't want you to stay in that rest here while we're, not that we're not trying to get into the rest, but I'm staying fighting the enemy, always having to confront something. Because when you're not doing that, just think about what you're accomplishing in the time you're here. I mean, we've got a lot to still, that's why we're here. We're actually, we're helping others. We're praying things down. We're fighting our own imagination and thoughts sometimes. Whatever it is we're coming up against, and we're constantly honing our skills and becoming closer to the Lord. Sometimes we feel like we fall back, but that's just in order to make us draw closer to him. And we need all this time. We need these things to grow while we're here. We'll have plenty of time to walk around and enjoy the joy, the fruits of our labor when we're in heaven and what God did for us and be eternally thankful. But while we're here, you know, this is our time to make the most of our time to have the rewards we are going to receive when we get to heaven. So if we kick back now, what are we going to miss out on? Who are we going to, whose life aren't we going to affect in the future if we don't stay in that race and continue pushing forward until we see the prize come when Jesus comes around and rewards everybody what the rewards are going to be? And we have to stay in the battle. And this is kind of, even though he's driving these beasts out for us and bringing them, give us the victory, he's not going to do it all at once. And boy, I think what we got coming in front of us is we've got a pretty angry beast coming up in front of us here shortly. So it's getting angrier and angrier. We need to have our skills in tune and our mind ready for war.
Amen. Go ahead, Lizzie.
Well, what came to my mind with verse 29, you know, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Well, what came to my mind was where in Matthew, and there's other places, I forget what other gospels, but it talks about, you know, the unclean spirit, when it is gone out of the man, passes through waterless places seeking rest and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. And it just, you know, and before that, it's talking about different ones that repented at the preaching of you know, Jonah to Nineveh, and the queen of the south, she came to hear, you know, Solomon, and it's saying, you know, not giving heed to the word, you know. But that's what came to my mind, you know, when I read that, was is that, you know, that, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. So it is, you know, you know, sometimes people think, you know, I got this deliverance, you know, from all these spirits, and but she's still, and there's kind of a, you know, someone mentioned about pride, you know, I got rid of all these spirits, but you gotta be content, you gotta fill up with the word, you know, or the beast will come back on you, you know, beast of the land, or the spirits will come back on you. That's what came to my mind.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, when we were reading that, what Missy has said, I think there was a teaching, and I'm going to say 6-7 years ago, that David covered that pretty well about the spirits, you know, leaving and then coming back and finding the house swept clean, and they move in with seven more worse than themselves. And I remember that as a teaching, and that made a lot of sense. But another thing was that I think the mercy of God, you know, to do it gradually with us, because I'm going to make an instant conversion, at least most people I don't think are, but putting it in the scripture, you know, people aren't, if they see that, they're not going to be frustrated that they have failures. you know, you cross the line, you get baptized, you think, okay, everything's good now, I'm free of sin and stuff, and it doesn't happen instantly. We have, you know, word here to back up that, you know, we are going to fail, we're going to fall down, we're going to pick ourselves back up, and therefore we don't get frustrated that and think that we're not capable of attaining salvation because we failed. And so I think it was really good that early on in the Bible that we encounter this, and it lays the groundwork. It doesn't justify failure, but it explains it, and you know, and it's part of the plan. So that's it, all I have.
Amen. Go ahead, Denny. Yep. Yeah, you unmuted. I figured you had something to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Jolene, I guess you did, yeah. All right. Yeah, that teaching of salvation, instant progression, was a good teaching. That's one of my favorites. All right, anybody else?
I got one more thing, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Early on here, you know, in Exodus, he's warning very severely and strictly and in no uncertain terms about the mixed multitudes. And through the rest of the book, you know, the Hebrews ran into trouble with the mixed multitudes. They couldn't keep themselves pure, and it brought all kinds of troubles upon them. I was kind of looking to see if there was one of those big ifs in that chapter, but I didn't notice it. they were, you know, they were warned, and, you know, human nature being what it is, it caused them a lot of problems because they didn't fulfill what they were told to do.
Amen. Go ahead, Will. Let me unmute you, brother. All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank, I think it's Joe, for his for what he said about my situation. I got disconnected, and but I'll listen to the recording. I'll download the recording and I'll listen to it tomorrow. This is a bit, the other thing that I wanted to add, it's a bit Afrikaans. You say it's from the Yasopios. It's like a totally different topic, but it's related to David's teaching. The last teaching, and I listened to it this morning, and it was just something that I wanted to talk about, if I may, or maybe we can leave it for another time. But it was about
Well, you're cutting out, Will. Apparently, we've lost your signal because we can't hear you. You said something about David's last teaching, Sunday's teaching. I'm going to claim ignorance on that. I hadn't listened to it yet.
I'm just so uncertain as to when to apply.
I guess it got knocked off.
Sunday's teaching was on false teachers and bad doctrine and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Doctrines of demons, huh?
It's also about, putting on Jesus Christ and coming into his image, the fruit of Christ in us. Where the bad doctrine is not teaching people to put on Christ. It's not, recognizing Jesus in you. 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. That's where the churches aren't bringing people into Christ's image, and they're going to hold them back just like they did in Jesus' day. They're going to reject that gospel. It's kind of going in that direction a little bit with the false teachers.
Okay. I'm not sure where he was going with that. He broke up. I couldn't hear much at all. Did anybody else hear? Yeah, go ahead, Will. There you back. He's back. Let me unmute you, brother.
My apologies. Our reception is what it is in the mountains. I don't know if you can still hear me.
Hear you. Go ahead.
It seems like it is already. Might be glitchy. How's it now?
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. No, it was, I don't know who listened to the teaching. It was about give them no greeting. I wrote it down, but I don't have it with me now. It was about you're not allowed to greet them that are... I don't know what level of Christianity, or if they've fallen, are they fallen Christians, apostates? Are they? Yeah, I don't know. And but what point do we have to apply that? Because when do we separate from someone? Do we have to actually go and tell them I'm separating from you? Or I remember David saying that. He never actually separated from anyone. They separated from him. They got angry with him and factions against him, and then they moved away. He never actually had to tell anyone to leave. Now, I'm just wondering how everything fits together. Will there be a situation, or does he expect us now to separate from people, or is the old rule where they will sort of separate from us still stands? And why give them no greeting? I just want to understand it. So, you don't want to separate from someone without, like, I think there might have been separations from people where it was like totally unnecessary. So I'm just very scared, or like very careful not to separate from anyone. But this is like an instruction. So yeah, I get the some of the word on that sort of situation. And since it was on Sunday's teaching, I just sort of look at it, you know. I'll listen to it again and write it down for next for a later time maybe, to just being to be able to make a better point, a clearer point as to sort of get an understanding as to why he's brought it up and what does the Lord require from us from that sort of verse.
It sounds like to me that he was talking about the faction in the church, because that's the ones that he wants you to separate from and have no greetings with them. That's in.
So is that actually a point where you go to where if they still want to keep contact with you, you tell them, no, I can't keep contact with you anymore for this and this reason. And I won't greet you anymore. Is it really to that extent, or because I'm from what I remember, the previous teachings was they normally separate from you, so you don't really have to separate yourself from them. They'll separate themselves from you. So it's just a different.
Well, it works hand in hand. I think I know what I didn't listen to it. Somebody else listened to it. You can go ahead and talk, but I know what he's talking about as far as faction in the church. When you're somebody in faction, that's somebody who causes division in the church. Titus 3:10 says a factious man after a first and what, Andrew?
That's the one I just got.
Oh, okay. After a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. And he's exactly right. When you call them out on that, and they're not willing to repent, they will leave. They've done it time and time again here. But that's what he's talking about. And he's talking about people who talk behind other people's back, as one example, and without doing what it says in Matthew 18:15-17. And that is to go to that man yourself without talking about him. Because if you don't go to him, you're talking behind his back, and you're trying to call somebody else to look at you because you're so good and you're judging him. But God wants you to go to that person that you've got all against, he said. Go ahead. Hang on just a bit. We're going to try to clarify you a little bit more. Go ahead, Lynn.
Also in 1 Corinthians 5, where the man was sleeping with his father's wife, Paul talks about separating from them. You know, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. You don't want to be involved with a person who's in sin, because that sin is going to rub off on you. Faction is a sin, and if you listen to a factious person, you're going to take on that factious spirit too. So you want to you first say, I don't want to hear that, and you know, that's wrong speaking. And then if he doesn't listen to you, then you take another person or two people and confront him again. And then if he still won't do it, then you bring him before the church, because he's done the wrong things. And you don't want that faction spirit on you, and you don't want that sin spirit on you either. So you have to be careful of what you listen to, careful of who you hang out with, because it'll cause you to fail. You know, and that's what he's talking about.
one thing about that faction spirit, and I'll get right back to you, Dave, that faction spirit is one of the most dangerous spirits there is. You don't have to lay hands on anybody to impart that spirit. All you have to do is speak to them and listen to them. If you do that, that faction spirit will jump on you. Next thing you know, you're out of there. I've seen it happen too many times here. And I know that that's one of the most dangerous spirits there is. And that's why God addresses it so. Go ahead, Dave.
I think one of the other things he was referring to here, and I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 right now. Because actually I'm going through, but he kind of covered this a little bit. He said, Paul saying, and this is actually on the refreshed ASV version. I can get it on PDF form, so it's kind of nice. Would that you could bear with me in a little foolishness, Paul is saying, but indeed you do bear with me. It says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I betroth you to one husband, and that's Christ, that I might present you as pure virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is towards Christ. For he who comes preaching another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit from whom you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. In other words, I looked that up. What does it mean, do well to bear with him? He's saying not to tolerate it, to correct it, to not let that stay in the camp. This is another thing that he's warning us about, and this would be the thing that you would not give somebody any greeting when this person is going to come preaching and teaching another gospel, another Jesus, and he's not going to take correction, because you're here to give him correction. If this person refuses and continues on with this heresy, with this another Jesus, with this Baal, which they have in the churches today, You cannot have this come into your camp. You can't allow them. You can't give them greeting, because they have to be humiliated. They have to know what they're doing is wrong, because if you're telling them the truth and they refuse to hear it, at this point, that person is not good for you and for him. He has to know what he's saying is wrong. Now, I'm not saying, you know, cut them off, no longer have anything to do with them. I don't know. But I'm saying if this person comes teaching and trying to persuade you other than what you know, and you correct him and he doesn't receive it, this is where it's going to be the danger part. That's what's going to be happening. They're trying to bring you back into their camp, you know. This is another Jesus, another gospel. I think that's somewhat that David was teaching on too a little bit. So.
Amen. If they're teaching the wrong, that's just like people that have gone into faction, people who have tried to cause division in this fellowship here. God completely wipes what they know out of their brain. The truth that they did have, they've lost it. We've had one spirit-filled guy came in here, knew what the teachings were, and got faction because he didn't get his way to do something. He wanted to be somebody in the fellowship, and we told him, just hang on. But he couldn't wait, and he got factious. And God sent him out of there. Next thing you know, he's a Mormon. Now, what kind of a preacher, what kind of a pastor, what kind of an elder would allow somebody like that to teach in there without, you know, first understanding what the teachings are? The truth of the teachings are. If you've got somebody trying to bring another Jesus in there, that's dangerous. And that's why the Lord tells you to separate from them. I know I've known people to go from full gospel back to a church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they dumb me down. They dumb me down. And that's what God's trying to tell us. We must be very careful about who we associate with as far as our brothers and our sisters. They can't be divisive. And they can't be trying to pull pull off another gospel, you know. And that's what we got a lot of out there. But God. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
I think the point that I wanted to make is I was quite comfortable with what I've learned so far that at some point they will separate themselves from you. I've just never really heard a teaching where you are required to tell them, well, listen, I cannot keep company with you anymore, and I think it's better that we separate. So is that true? Will there be a situation where someone, for the listeners, are going to separate past you because of this, et cetera? Or is there never going to be a situation where I actually have to come out of a church with the action where I'd actually...
Did anybody get that?
I think he did make a good point that, you know, once you bring correction to somebody and it's in the, it's, you're going by what the word says and you're showing them or telling them what this means. And if they don't receive that, they probably will separate from you. We're seeing that more than happened than anything. It's not like we have to separate from them. They're going to find they're not going to like what we said. And they're going to be separating from us, and the guy's going to cause that separation. That's happened with the faction in UBM, and I've seen it happen with people that I've told things that, you know, that's not true. This is what the scriptures say, actually, and that's what you're saying is wrong. And I wasn't trying to shove something down and make them feel bad, but a woman in particular was talking, preaching Mary, and I says, there's nothing in the scripture that covers that. This is what you're saying is it's made up. It's a lie. I don't know why they're telling you that. But what you're telling now is that there's nothing in there that covers Mary and salvation. And she has no redemptive qualities in the scriptures. And I said, it's all of Jesus. It's nothing to do with Mary. And I just gave a few of those little things. I said, if you want to continue saying that, we can, but it's not true. Well, she doesn't want nothing to do with me anymore. You know, it's like I'm the worst person she could be around. Very, you can see it, but it's a religious spirit coming on these people. And so once you bring out the truth, and like I said, you don't bear with it. When it's a great another Jesus, another gospel, you just tell them, hey, this is another Jesus. This is another gospel. It's not in scripture. And boy, that's enough. That's all you got to tell them. They don't want to listen anymore. And that's what maybe Will's talking about. You bring some correction and bring them in back to the truth, and this is what the scriptures say. If they've got their idol, they're not going to let go of it. They're going to separate from you.
Yeah, well, there are certain instances where a lot of grace is involved, and we know that people are going to come out of some of these churches, and God's going to get their attention through whatever means is necessary. And David teaches this. He teaches that, you know, just because you believe a little bit different than I do, I can still have fellowship with you. It's when divisiveness comes in. It's when that kind of thing, when you start listening to them rather than what you know, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about just separate from them just because their doctrine's a little bit different than yours. You give them what you know, and then you still, you know, keep a smile on your face and try to be friends with them and pray for them. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, 2 Timothy, each chapter has different people there. The chapter 1, verse 15. These are people who are in the church, and this thou knowest, that all they in Asia turned away from me, of whom?
Where's that?
2 Timothy chapter 1, 15. Okay. And then there's these other two guys in chapter 2, 17. Ananias and Philgelus, they have deviated from the truth, saying that the resurrection is past already. I think I mentioned that one once before. Got some people talking about the rapture resurrection nowadays too. And then there's Jannes and Jambres in chapter 3, who withstood Moses. And then there's Alexander, the coppersmith, who would be just a, basically a worldly person. I think the last two are people who were worldly. So 2 Timothy has some pretty good examples there of items. And he uses one in chapter 3 of a past reference, but the other three are actual ones he ran into.
Okay. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I'm just, maybe I'm, give them no greeting. So maybe I just want to look at the, is that a hello in the street or is that a different type of greeting? Maybe I should go and look at the definition there. But let's say, for instance, they corrected a person and it's a serious, it's a willful sin. It's a person in willful sin. It's an abomination. We've done a correction. That person insists to keep company with me. Like we've discussed, after you've basically done a correction, that person tends to want to move away from you and not the other way around. So then they won't, that give them no greeting. Let's say that person comes up to you and greets you now. Are you to ignore that person or can we really still stand on the fact that that person will now not want to greet you anymore anyway and move away from you after? Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to hit a short answer here. We're about out of time, but the reason that God wants us to not greet them is to shame them to come back to Him. That's one of the reasons we are to shun them. We are not to greet them. If you see them in, like we have a lot of Walmarts here, you see them in Walmart, you're not to speak a word to them. If they come up, start talking to you, you turn around and talk and walk off. We've done it here. It's to do one thing. It's to bring them to shame, to come back to the Lord. And that's talking about a factious person. That's talking about a divisive person.
That was with the people that you had in your fellowship for sure that went and factioned out. It's not just you choose out of the clear blue sky because you don't like what they said. They actually had to have something that amongst you in a fellowship, but all of a sudden they became very factious. There's a lot of factious people around us we'll have to deal with all the time. You just, it's the best you can, you deal with them. But once they're amongst you and they become factious, then they have to be separated like that.
Sure. So there is a very serious type of turn, a cold shoulder attitude towards sin sometimes where you have to push someone away that doesn't want to repent.
Yep, that's true. You have to do that. Okay, well, we're out of time. Is anything we need? We can bring it. We can start this back up again Thursday night. We can talk about this some more. Y'all listen to the broadcast and I'll listen to it because I haven't done it. But I will. Yeah, Andrew.
I just brought that up in 2 Timothy because there's different types of people out there, and it's kind of hard to know whether some people from some denominations are even saved.
You know, yeah,
that's it's a much different now from what these people in the first century went through. You were either in the church or you weren't, and the church was just starting to. Have many differences there, you know. So it's a lot different now. Like, what was it, 30,000-40,000 denominations? And also,
last time I heard it was 44,000. Just a couple out there.
Yeah, that's a lot of different Jesuses. And I think we read that verse too, you know, about Jesus there in Corinthians, a different Jesus.
Well, if we get 100,000 more, we'd all be the called out ones, right? 144,000?
144,000. Get that out of 200 double-sided, 8.5 by 5.5 printed pages. There's only 200 sheets there in the New Testament. You've got 44,000. Like, if what? That's 1,000 almost for every 100. For every verse, there's 10.
I forget. When I first counted them, it was like in the early 1900s. It was like, I don't remember what it, but the number. It's some small number. Now we've grown since then to 44,000. Yeah, Leah. 6,000?
1,000 at the turn of the century.
Okay. 1,000 to 44,000. That's a lot of faction. Well, Lord, we just thank you for your word that we can always refer back to. And if we're loyal to you, that's what we'll do. And Lord, always keep our minds and our thoughts on you. And Lord, always be open to correction if there's correction that's needed. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us all the revelations in the word that we need at the time. And we thank you for it, Father. We know that we're on this holiness walk, and we're allowing you by faith to sanctify us, Lord. And we walk that sanctification out by our walk, believing that when we look in our spiritual mirror, we see Jesus. And that's the faith that you want us to do, calling those things that are not as though they were. I am holy. I am walking like Jesus. Because the word says it, I believe it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that to every one of us. Lord, be with us, protect us until we meet again Thursday night, Lord. And bring some, Lord, put it in our hearts to come and speak about these things that David was talking about in his Sunday's Bible study. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep for everybody tonight. In Jesus' name. Love y'all. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.
Night.